Hi everyone and welcome to Vegan World. This week, just a short introduction for myself. I wanted to bring on to the show Cliff Grant, who was my very first guest way back when I started this at the start of 2019. I wanted to get Cliff's input into the Vegan World in review and how he found issues and animal rights throughout the course of the year. Also any newsworthy stories that he remembers throughout the course of the year and the look ahead to 2020. So sit back, relax and enjoy this week's episode with Cliff Grant from Anonymous for the Voiceless. So it's my very great pleasure to welcome back to Vegan World my very first guest on the show, Cliff Grant from Anonymous for the Voiceless. Welcome back, Cliff.
Hi Neil, how's it going? So almost a year since the last time, so it's good to be back, and thanks very much for asking me to come back on.
Very good to have you back, mate. I guess what I wanted to do in this episode was, obviously, we spoke back in February, as I said, the very mm-hmm. first episode, and you talked very eloquently and very in-depth about your reasons for going vegan and the work that you do with Anonymous for the Voiceless and everything that entails. And I've seen you guys in action, in the flesh, and in the centre of Belfast, and all the great work that you do there. So what I wanted to do was, because we're hurtling towards the end of 2019, and this beautiful Northern Irish winter evening that we're experiencing.
Oh, it's shocking, terrible outside. It's not good.
If anyone's in Northern Ireland listening to this, the date is the 18th of December 2019. And judging by the weather forecast, I think Ireland might actually sink if it rains any further. But
So thanks for talking. Two types of weather here, bad and really bad. So.
You are not wrong, my friend. So I look back at 2019, Cliff. What I wanted to have a chat about was your main highlights from an animal rights perspective, from the campaigning that you've been involved in, and the issues that you've seen during 2019. I guess one of the main things that we saw this year was the creation on the back of Extinction Rebellion was Animal Rebellion, which I know you've been involved in as well. If you could talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so Extinction Rebellion declared a rebellion against the government this year. I think their first actions were in April in London, and it was against the government. They called it criminal activity for failing to act on the impending climate change that we're all facing. And then when we went to the London Animal Rights March, Earthling Ed announced the formation of Animal Rebellion. And when the second rebellion took place, I think it was in October, I'm trying to remember the dates, it was the 7th, I think, to the 19th, so it was a two-week affair. They called it an occupation of London, and Animal Rebellion took part in that. And for 2 weeks, there was numerous activities, blocking roads, just acts of rebellion, really, going to slaughterhouses, going to businesses that are involved in animal agriculture. It was an interesting time for sure.
And in terms
did
of
you
the,
see much
the,
of it on the TV? Or?
I did. Well, I was following the online presence of it as well, and I suppose in the back of what you were saying as well, you mentioned the London Animal Rights March as well. I've seen previous years' animal rights marches in London and Dublin as well, and other places around the world. I kind of got the feeling, Cliff, I don't know how you felt about this, but the particularly the one in London this year, the numbers really seemed to swell quite a bit, and it seemed like this was the biggest one yet.
Yeah, I had fears because the numbers on the actual event were smaller than maybe from last year and maybe from the year before too, but when we turned up, I think the police estimated there was 12,000 people there. For my part, the crowd was absolutely massive, Neil. We gathered up in one of the parks in the morning, and from about an hour and a half before, the numbers just swelled and swelled and swelled. And when we first got there in the morning, I thought, okay, it's going to be big. Let's see how big it gets. And just before it started, I had goosebumps on my skin. It was unbelievable. People just kept coming and coming and coming. And by the time the first speeches were taking place and Earthling Ed spoke and the Animal Rebellion people spoke, it was just an amazing day. And then to march through London and we took over Trafalgar Square that day. And that was the first statement of intent. you know, for the rebellion. So for an hour, like, we closed Trafalgar Square off, and then we continued on our march, and we went to Parliament Square, and there was more talks and stuff, and it was just an amazing day, and the numbers, Neil, were huge. It was a huge march and a huge event, and so much pride in taking place, or taking part in that, especially there was a crowd of us over from Northern Ireland here, and to walk along with those people in that march, just, what an amazing day. So I can't wait for this. For, I was going to say this year's, but 2020, the march,
yeah.
I cannot wait because it's going to be even bigger again.
And did you see people from all walks of life taking part in that, Chris? You know, whether they
do.
Wherever their profession is, where they're from, whatever, just everybody and anybody?
Yeah, you just see everybody. There's, from every walks of life, there's from hippies to people in suits. There was a couple who just got married. and have come along to take part in the march. I think they had the sign. They said, yes, we've just got married, and yes, our kids will be vegan. People from all walks of life, and Animal Rebellion was exactly the same. So you go from people at one end of the spectrum to the other. They all have one thing in common. We're all animal advocates, and we all want to protect the planet and all, its and all the inhabitants. And it doesn't matter what, where you're from or how much money you have or what type of house you live in, everyone shares the same worry and the same vision that we want to change the way, you know, the planet is messed up, and we've got to change the system now, and it's time for us all to take action now. And to, I don't care where you're from or what your occupation is, like I said, how much money you have, I just want people to get out there and do something, you know, and it's great to see so many people taking part. So hopefully we're going to see even more in 2020.
Fantastic. You mentioned people from all walks of life, you know, whether they're the rich, poor, you know, wherever they're from, it doesn't matter what part of the country or what they do for a living. When you've been involved in animal rights campaigning for quite some time now, Cliff. When you, you mentioned there about having goosebumps when you began to hear the speeches and stuff like that, and when you're surrounded by people who share your attitudes and values and what you want out of life and what we all want out of life, you must feel like, you know, I was one of the first to this, and now it's so humbling, I guess, to see how this has grown.
I wouldn't say I was one of the first, because there's been activists, Neil, for years, and I'm here to take away from the good work that people have been doing from 30 and 40 and 50 years ago. Some people have been working on animal rights for a long, long time and done terrific work. I think the recent raft of animal rights activists has come from social media, because, you know, Facebook and Google and Instagram has brought information to everyone now. It's freely available, information that we didn't have before. So you know, the advocates of the past were almost working on their own, and they were isolated, whereas now the information's readily available to everybody. So I would never say that I was one of the first. I would say I was one of the first of the new wave of people and the new forms of activism and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, man, there's been so many people working away in the background for years and years and years. And props to them for struggling on and maybe not making a lot of, you know, probably doing a lot more than advocates do now and making very little difference because they're so isolated now. So I just thank social media that we can get the information out there. I mean, you'd had where would the information have come from before? You don't see it on the news, you don't see it on the TV. So we're just so blessed now that we can use social media and get the message out there, and it can't be hidden anymore. So yeah, not one of the first. It's been going on for a long time, but maybe one of the first in the new wave, for sure.
Speaking of the newer wave, I guess, and social media platforms, I've been keeping an eye on the fantastic work that you guys have been doing in Belfast. Talk to me about 2019 for Anonymous for the Voiceless in Belfast. It seems, from looking at the online presence, and on Saturday afternoon I'll see you guys down there as well. How have you found the interaction with people? Are people more aware of it these days, and they're more positive to it?
They are, for sure. I think it's actually the last time that almost everybody has seen something online, or whether it be something about the dairy industry or the egg industry, and it's maybe in the back of their mind, or they've maybe seen about the health or the game changers that came out recently, and they're worried about their own health, or they're worried about the environment. So there's so many worries for people out there now. So most people, when they come to us, are looking for information. I would say, yeah, 10. Maybe they're not actively looking. They haven't gone out in the morning and thought, yeah, I'm going to go into Belfast and go and see these guys at Cube of Truth today. But when they come across us, they're definitely, people are more open to it now. And the other side of the coin is we've got better as well. We've got more information, and we've learned as individuals in the group how to talk to people better and how to answer the questions better. And it's just amazing to see how people who thought they could never talk to somebody who wasn't a vegan or somebody who's throwing questions at them, how everyone on the group now can handle the conversation so well. And I think you've been down and seen it, you know. Yeah. In 15 minutes, you can change somebody from, yeah, oh, but I like burgers, or I like bacon, or where do you get your protein from, to, right, okay, I'm going to give it a go. Where do I go? What do I buy? Where do I get the information from? So, yeah, we're just working away. We're out every 2 weeks, and we talk to probably between 50 and 100 people each time we're out. And it's good work. And it's not just those 50 to 100 people, by the way, because I always think that those 50 to 100 people will go home and tell somebody else, and that person will tell somebody else. So it's exponential as well. That's how I see it. We're just dropping seeds into the population and letting the seeds grow, and trying to work towards a vegan world, which is going to come at some point.
It sounds like a great name for a podcast. Oh, wonder why I didn't.
Yeah.
So when you look back at 2019, Cliff, and more importantly, I suppose, as we're hurtling into 2020 here in Northern Ireland, what's been your favourite piece of news from the year just passed, and from an animal rights perspective?
I was thinking about this earlier, Neil, and I think it's not one thing in particular. I think it's all the small things that I see happening all the time. So there's no one thing that sticks out, but it's, you know, every time I see an animal getting rescued, it's just fantastic. Or every time I see a dairy farm closing down, or every time I see the number of vegans in the UK is growing, or we see the new foods and the new chocolates and the new ice creams that are coming out all the time, and we see Greg's bringing out a new vegan menu. We walk into Tesco's now, and you go to the end of the meat aisle, and there's a whole vegan section right beside the dead animal products. And yeah, it's all those things, it's the amalgamation of all the changes that we see happening all the time. And okay, we haven't got a vegan world yet, far from it, but the change is coming. And it's coming faster than I think I ever expected, because 2 or 3 years ago I thought, this situation's desperate, I'm never going to see change. But I mean, you must see it, and your listeners must see it, when every time you turn on the TV, somebody's talking about veganism, or talking about climate change, or talking about health, or talking about plant-based diets. So it's all around us now, and we're starting to get it into, I genuinely believe we're starting to gain real traction now, and that traction will lead to change for sure. I have no doubt in my head about it now, none whatsoever.
I think it's really interesting you say that, actually, because even when you and I spoke almost close to, I guess, 12 months ago, it was one of my first journeys into activism. You know, we all know activism takes its different forms and what have you. And I find that when I had said to people, oh, I'm doing a podcast, and, you know, this is the nature of the work that I'm involved in, and this is why I do it. And, you know, you'd meet with a little bit of resistance, I suppose. But it was more curiosity.
Yeah.
And, okay, tell me more about that. So I was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a great opportunity to talk to people and say, this is why we believe and what we believe in. What are your opinions of it? And have you thought about this, et cetera, et cetera? And I find the resistance to it more, well, there's hardly been any resistance to it. It's been more replaced by curiosity. And I really, since you and I first spoke, Cliff, and that's why I was keen to have this conversation towards the end of the year, was I think the progress in the animal rights vegan movement has been phenomenal. It's really taken me by surprise.
Yeah.
I think we're really close to a tipping point.
Yeah, and they say the tipping point is something like 17% of the population, because then it's right there in everybody's minds, and then it becomes almost everybody else is thinking, okay, well, this is maybe socially unacceptable now.
Yeah, sure.
To eat animals, you know, and to be doing this. Because, I mean, when you're talking about people throwing back at you and rebutting and the resistance that you get, I mean, why would you be resistant to being kind to animals? This is how I often think in my head, why would somebody be resistant to not killing an animal when you don't have to? Or why would you be resistant to not trying to save the planet when you can do something about it, you know? So I think people are trying to, everybody's been taught their entire life all these lies that these companies and the TV and the radio throw at you. And I think more and more nowadays people are trying to, they are working it out in their head. And okay, they might think, yeah, but I like a burger or I like bacon, but they're starting to realize now there is another way. We don't need it to be healthy. We can thrive without it. You know, so what are your arguments really? What are you're arguing to hold on to something that its time is up.
Yeah.
So everybody just needs to let it go and let's move on and let's make this world a better place.
Yeah. One of the funniest things I remember you saying was people, one of the arguments that you hear is people saying about the people, we're hunter gatherers. I was like, no, there's a Tesco's over there. There's a Sainsbury's over there.
Yeah.
I'm not a hunter-gatherer.
Yeah.
I'm a consumer.
Yeah.
I'm not walking around with a loincloth and a spear over my arm, you know?
I read a couple of books this year, and I, from what I read, I believe we were more gatherer-hunters. So, you know, fruit and veg is the easiest thing for us to eat. So we were probably eating a lot of fruit and veg and grain and stuff, and maybe scavenging off dead animals way back. And then and be progressed into hunter-gatherers at some point. But I think if you go back far enough, we were eating grains and pulses and stuff like that. I don't think the human body was ever intended to eat meat products. But yeah, there's a Tesco's across the road. It's always a crazy argument.
Yeah. But, mind you, some of the people I see in there do look like they've not evolved too much. That's a very nice one.
Yeah,
it's just an indictment of my local supermarket, but there you go.
Yeah. Sometimes I wonder, I look out the window and I shake my head sometimes, but yeah, it's a crazy world.
You're not wrong. Speaking of funny and odd, what has been, looking back, you know, through the course of this year, what's been your funniest moment of the year, would you say, Cliff?
I think the funniest thing this year was the reaction to the Tesco's advert.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know the one I mean, yeah?
I do indeed, yeah.
So Tesco's did an advert where a little girl and her father were cooking, and she came in and announced to her dad that she didn't want to eat. And I love the word they used. She didn't say, I don't want to eat meat anymore. She said, I don't want to eat animals anymore. And I remember the morning I heard that on TV, and I was like, holy crap, did I just hear that advert right? Because that's like a sea change almost. Or people would have immediately thought, you know, people don't think about what they're eating. But for them to throw the word animal in there was done absolutely deliberately and on purpose. So I loved the advert. The farmers didn't love it.
Mm.
And they were up in arms about it and said they were being attacked. We're trying to do them out of business, and Tesco should be ashamed of themselves for attacking British farmers. And I just thought it was so funny and odd. Those are the two words that you used. Nobody was attacking any farmer at all. The use of one word was enough for them to be up in arms. But it's a good thing, because it shows that they're worried, and it shows that the businesses they see change coming. And for that to be in a mainstream advert on TV seemed like a very simple thing. But how many children were sitting at home and thought, oh, is that chicken that I'm eating the same as those chickens that I seen in my granny's backyard, or is the lamb I'm eating, is that actually the lambs that I see in the field? So I think I just thought it was so funny that one word could create such a storm in an advert. But yeah, again, it just shows you the changes that are coming.
I know. exciting. There's one word that springs to mind about it as well.
Yeah,
and as you said, sure. The reaction of like people like the National Farmers Union, the National Union of Farmers in the UK was just really, seriously, just wise up. Come on. Are you that threatened?
Yeah, they were releasing statements against Tesco's and telling people to, I think they had telling people to boycott Tesco's and don't shop in it because they used this word animal. Madness. But yeah, doesn't that just show you how worried they are, Neil, and how they see the change coming and how they see the public view and the public opinion beginning to gradually change to our side and coming away from the dark side.
Yeah,
you know, 100%. So it's brilliant.
Feeling threatened, Darby, I wonder. So you segue perfectly for me, absolutely effortlessly, Cliff, into my next point about public perception, and on a slightly different topic, and all related, obviously. But the top of the show, we were mentioning about climate change, with different, you know, Extinction Rebellion acts in the centre of London and around the country. What has been your view, particularly this year? And I think it's really become, well, it's always been mainstream, but it's on nearly every single news bulletin that I see about climate change, the impact that, you know, different practices that goes on in society have on it. Now, they talk about people switching to electric cars. They talk about CO2 emissions. One thing I never, ever hear about is agri-farming. Yeah, exactly. What's your view on that? And the reaction of the world media during the course of 2019?
I think it's a scandal that it's not mentioned, because all of the science, like there are hundreds and hundreds of scientists who all agree now that animal agriculture is the leading driver of climate change. You know, you look at CO2 emissions, greenhouse gases. When you take it all into account, animal agriculture dwarfs everything, but yet they don't talk about it. And I wonder why that is. So they're wanting people to change their cars. They want us to go away from fossil fuels, and they want us to stop flying in airplanes. Airplanes, I think, contribute less than 2% to greenhouse gases. All transportation, that's all planes and trains, cars, lorries, buses. Everything is in and around 14% of all greenhouse gases. And depending on the science that you read, anywhere from between 21 and over 40% of greenhouse gases come from animal agriculture. Not to mention it's the leading driver of deforestation, of ocean dead zones, of water pollution. So all these things point to one industry, and yet no one wants to talk about it. I don't know the answer on why that is. I think the government have vested interest in keeping these businesses going. There's so much. I mean, the meat, dairy and egg industries are massive. The people at the top of them are multimillionaires, if not billionaires. There's people making so much money from these industries, and people say follow the money when you want the answer to something. So I think follow the money that's being made from it. I think that's why it's not mentioned. I'm not an expert on why it's kind of suppressed, and you'll see that too. I don't know. What's your viewpoint on that? Why do you think they don't talk about it? It's so frustrating.
Yeah, I think it is frustrating. That's the number one thing that comes across when I watch the BBC's, you know, 10 o'clock news, or I see a report in, you know, CNN or something like that. I'm thinking, as you said, Cliff, follow the money. And I think there's a lot of very powerful lobby groups who lobby governments and who are putting these MPs or these senators and these people in the House of Representatives in the US who, you know, the biggest, most influential people globally. And they're paying for the re-election. As in, Big Tobacco did this back in the 80s and the 90s. And if you spoke out against them, then they'll say, "Oh, right, okay, so when it comes to re-election time, we're going to go and find ourselves a candidate who will represent our views and who we will spend our dollars on." So I think to get elected as an MP in the UK is quite a difficult thing. You have to have powerful lobby groups behind you, supporting you, paying for your campaigns.
The groups and the parties that spend the most money are the parties and the groups who get elected. I think that's
100%. Absolutely. I mean, it's the correlation's there for everybody to see. And I think, you know, without wishing to see sound like I'm ranting, I think it's exactly like you said, you know, you got to follow the money. And I think that will change partly through consumer tastes and lobbying and campaigning at a consumer level. But I think also we in the animal rights industry need our own lobbyists. We need our own wealthy individuals who are willing to do that. And I think companies like Beyond Meat and innovators like that, Impossible Burger and others, you know, they're just two that spring to mind immediately. Have a part to play in that, you know, and it's a gradual process. It is changing rapidly, and it will happen.
Yeah, I read yesterday, I think 75% of all the Arctic ice is already melted, gone. That's the last 30 years, 75% is gone. How crazy is that?
That's nuts.
You know, and they were saying if you remove the... If you remove ice from dark water, well, then you get a latent heat effect, and the temperature of the Earth is just going to go up dramatically. The Gulf Stream is going to reverse. We're just heading for a disaster, so we need people to catch up quickly. So we need a system change, and we need people to personally change as well. Like you said, we need people to buy something else and shift over to a more sustainable and a plant-based diet is a good start. We need everybody to go vegan for the animals, but we need change and we need it fast.
Absolutely, mate. And lastly, let's finish off on a positive note for 2020. What's your outlook for the year ahead? Give me a prediction where we might be a year from now. I don't mean stats or anything, but you reckon we're going to continue to see the growth that we've experienced? And we've got Veganuary, the campaign over here in the UK, right around the corner.
Yeah, I think they have record numbers already for this time of year signed up, so hopefully there'll be even more people signed up again. For the year ahead, I mean, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I think the more, as people go vegan, it's the exponential effect. So when you go vegan, you tell your friends and your family about it, and then they tell someone and they tell someone, and that's the way change is going to happen. You know, if you think about it, we have 3 million vegans in the UK now. If they all speak to somebody and that person can go vegan, just one person in 2020, and you can get some one person to go vegan by what you tell them or what you show them, well then we double up immediately to 6 million. You know, so that's how hopefully we'll make change. I think it's one of the big changes in my life, because 5 years ago I thought the world's messed up. The scientists are going to help us, and the politicians and the leaders, they're going to sort it out for us. And at the minute, Neil, that's not going to happen. You know, so I think we all need to stand up. All people of conscience need to stand up and make yourself heard and speak out for the animals and speak up for the planet and speak up for the human beings that are on this planet as well. And that's how we're going to make change. And yeah, we're going to drive forward. The industries are already fearing us, and we're not going to see a vegan world anytime soon, certainly not in the next 5 years anyway, but in my lifetime we will see a vegan world for sure. We have to, or the planet is gone, and that's how I look at it. So it's positive for me. The climate change thing is going to help us greatly in this argument, because we must change. As a race on this planet, we have to change our behaviours, otherwise there's not going to be a planet here for future generations. So we need to, all of us, get out there and speak up and use your voice. And let's do it, yeah.
Fantastic. Thanks very much, Cliff. Listen, Merry Christmas to you and your family and everybody at Anonymous for the Voiceless. Thanks for all the brilliant work that you've done this year and continue to do. And good luck with everything in 2020.
Thank you so much, man. Can I just say, for all the people who work with me and are in my group, or not my group, but in the group that I'm in, we all work together. They put in so much time and effort, and I love and appreciate them all so much. I just want to give a wee shout out to them too. Some absolutely brilliant, beautiful people out there. And lots of love to them.
Thanks a million.